This is session two of Revelation Road Trip, a study in the book of Revelation. This session, I'll be talking about how we interpret Revelation, some methods of interpretation. This is going to be a fairly short session. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Just want to get some of the basic groundwork of how we're going to approach this book of Revelation. I talked some already about this in the first session, but I want to go into a little bit more detail here. As when we talk about how people interpret and understand Revelation, I mean, it's all over the map. As you can see from the diagrams that I've provided in the accompanying outline, these diagrams are from the ESV Study Bible, by the way. You know, it's really all over the map, and this isn't just the only ones that are possible. There are many other variations and combinations. You know, just about any religious group that considers itself Christian has some sort of interpretation of this book of Revelation, especially in regards to the end time. Some are more mainstream, some are what most of us would consider way off the charts. Different cults have used it as predicting the end time and for justifying some of their actions. So I think it's important to understand and come to a basic framework of how we should approach Revelation in order to not misuse it for our own purposes, but to understand what God is trying to communicate to us. So, I'm really not going to talk a whole lot about in regards to the outline. You know, that's really for your own reference as to, as you talk to different flavors of Christians, they might use different vocabulary of in regards to their understanding of Revelation. And this should help you kind of understand where they're coming from in their understanding and interpretation. The first thing we need to set down is that in our interpretation and our study with this series is that we're first going to try to, as best as we can, come to an understanding of how the original audience would have understood the book of Revelation as it was being read to them. Now, John the author certainly had his intentions about how it was to be understood, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the audience understood it that way either. So we need to actually understand both sides, what John intended as well as what the audience would have heard and what the audience would have taken away from it. And the technical term for this is called exegesis. It's taking the text of the Bible, and in our case, specifically Revelation. So what I'm about to talk about here is applicable to the entire body of Scripture, not just Revelation. So we need to do critical and accurate exegesis as far as that is possible. And obviously, I don't have a doctorate in biblical languages or biblical history, anything like that. So I do have to rely on the work of others. And I hope that in my selection of different helps, that I've selected a wide gamut, a wide range of material so that I myself can get a broad perspective, not just a little narrow, the one school of thought perspective, but a broad perspective from which to form my own opinions, to form my own ideas that I believe are sound and biblical, and so that I can communicate that to you. Part of exegesis, obviously, is taking the text, trying to figure out what it meant, but we also need to do what's called cultural exegesis. So there's textual exegesis and as well as cultural exegesis, where we take the historical background, where we take the cultural norms at that time, all those things, the social norms, and we try to fit the text around all of those things so that we get a better picture, a broader understanding of what both John, the author, was attempting to communicate, as well as what the audience would have heard through John's words. As we do that, we then gain an understanding of what the text means, what the text meant to the original audience. Now, from there, once we know what it meant, then we can go on to the next step, that of attempting to glean from it the broader principles, because obviously not all of the specific things, specific details, the specific applications, specific warnings, exhortations apply. Some of it may not, but at this point, we don't make that judgment. We go from the text and our best understanding of what it means. From there, we try to glean out the bigger principles, the broader principles. And this is where we develop the theology of what the book is trying to communicate, both to the original audience as well as to us. So this is where the bridge from their time to our time begins to happen. This is where we begin to construct that bridge. There's a vast span of time and space, as well as culture and social norms, that we need to bridge. And through these larger principles, we are able to do that. Once we have a good understanding of what the principles are that are underlying what John wrote and what the audience heard, from there then, we can begin to make specific applications of those principles to us in our time and in our space. And that application is, the technical term for that is hermeneutics. And so I hope that this brief overview of the method, or the methods that I'll be employing to interpret this book of Revelation, helps you understand where we are going, and why in the first session I noted that it's important to, for the moment, set aside all these preconceived ideas that we may have about the book of Revelation, about what it means, about what it might say about the future, the applications that we may have heard in the past about what it should apply to us today. We need to set that aside. Again, not because they're necessarily wrong, but because we need to come at it afresh, come at it with a clean slate, so to speak, so that we can develop our own understanding and our own interpretation. And as we do, we can check back with some of these other viewpoints, other understandings, and see where we agree and where we disagree. And in particular, where we disagree, we can perhaps go deeper and see why is it that we disagree, and then come to a better understanding of, okay, so if we disagree, is it okay that to leave it at that, or should we, or perhaps our study and our viewpoint is wrong, And perhaps we need to come to a reconciliation of those differences. And even in the cases where we do agree, we now have a better idea of why we agree with a previous interpretation, previous application of the text. And so I hope this has been a help to you, and this short session closes our number two. With our next session, we will actually begin diving into the text of the book of Revelation.